On the plane the way to Toronto, I was sitting with the Ramban for a while. One piece after another. There's so much. Ramban is always rich, when Chai Sara particularly. There's so much going on. I want to take the opportunity to this morning. You can't see every Ramban in the Parsha. You can't even see half of them. Maybe you can at least see two of them. Each of which, you know, when you learn Chai Sara, so we feel like these are Parshas we mamash know. We've been learning since elementary school. These are probably, you know, some parshas, you know, at a certain point in the year, Rebbeim stopped teaching Parsha Shavua. But Chai Sara, you've been learning every single year. And yet the Ramban has so much newness, so much new perspective that he brings to the table on Psukim that we know. So let's begin here in Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Yutes. As you know, Chai Sara opens with the story of the death of Sarah, and particularly Avraham Avinu's negotiations with Ephraim. Avraham Avinu negotiates at length to buy the Maros Machpelah, and as we know, he speaks to the Bnei Ches, and then the Bnei Ches brings, says, I wanna buy this property. They offer Mivchar Koreinu. He says, you do me a favor, get me Ephraim. And as we know, Ephraim comes, and Ephraim says, Avraham makes an offer, and Ephraim says, oh, it'll be my pleasure, it'll be an honor, take it for free. And Avraham says, no, it's fine, I want to pay for this. And he says, a 400 shekel, and, well, it's not a big deal. And Avraham hears, Yishma Avraham, Avraham hears exactly what Ephraim is saying, he gets the hint, and he says, 400 shekel, Bismcha, counts it out, here it is. And as we know, buys the Ma'ara, and bury Sarah there. So the Ramban wants to know, we know this story, but we might wonder if we stop to think. We've spoken about this Gemara in the past, the Gemara Megill Dati Dalit. Nevuah shel Hutzrach L'Daros Nichtava, Nevuah shel Hutzrach L'Daros Lo Nichtava. Why we need to hear about all this negotiation? What's the point? Batama Sarah, Avraham Avinu buried her. Shine. Malanu, there were thousands, tens of thousands of episodes over the course of Avraham Avinu's 175 years. How many of them appear in Chumash? 10, 15, I don't count. So first, the Ramban begins by looking at it's one of the closing psukim, at the beginning of his comments in Pasuk Yutes. The Tam Acharei Kein Kavra Avraham Asara Ishto Amarasa Deha Machpelah Hi Chevron Be'eretz Kanaan. At the end, the psukim sounds as though they're being a little bit repetitious. That he buries her, we know that he's burying her, he bought the Maros HaMachpelah in Chevron, in Eretz Kenan. And Rabban says, Shav Leva'er HaSadeh V'HaMakom V'HaAretz, the Torah is reviewing all the details. It was specifically Sadeh HaMachpelah. You'll notice by that's the name of the Sadeh. It's the cave that's in, as the Torah stresses. He bought the land together with the cave. It's the Ma'ara of that piece of property was called Sadeh HaMachpelah, which is in Hebron, which is in Eretz Canaan. Right? So the address, city, country. Sounds like a form. So why do we need to hear that information again? This is a legal document. The Gemara tells us, you chazer everything b'shura acharona. You get to read a ksuba. You see, you always chazer at the end. You talk about the bottom line. What's the bottom line? In a shtar, that's a Gemara. In a shtar, you usually review all the key aspects of who are the parties involved in the basic transaction, the Shura Charon, and the bottom line of the Shtar, you review everything again. This chassan is marrying that kala, this fellow is borrowing money from that person, whatever it is. So if this was a legal document, we would understand that we're chazering once again what the address is. But this is an episode in the Chumash. So how come? Shavla va'er asada makam v'aretz. Why is the Torah review once again address, city, and country? Bavur. He called our parsha his kira b'nei ches v'Ephron hachiti. The Torah needs to stress that this is in Eretz Canaan. Because the whole time we've been hearing about the chitim. Who are these chitim?
the Eretz B'nei Ches. The B'nei Ches, Ephraim was one of the B'nei Ches. The Vika of his Gibba Sof, Kihu B'Eretz Kanan, Asher He Eretz Yisrael. That's what we call Eretz Yisrael. That's the language of Chazal. As opposed to being somewhere else. There were Chitim, if you learn your Tanakh, you know that there were Chitim who lived further up the Mediterranean coast also. They may have been related, the same as were related to the Phoenicians, who lived in Sar and Sidon. So the Chitim got around. So the Torah is highlighting, V'chein amar b'tchilas ha'parasha, b'kiras arba hi chevron be'eretz kenan. At the beginning and the end of the story, the Torah is stressing, even though you can hear a lot about Chitim, this is not happening in Syria. This is happening in Eretz Yisrael. This is happening in Eretz Canaan. And what's the point? Why is it significant? To know that this tzaddikah, Sarah, died in Eretz Yisrael. Died in Eretz Yisrael, was buried in Eretz Yisrael. Ki achitim imishpachos kanan. These chitim were kananim. And then he goes on to say, maybe the stress even more than, you know, where these chitim live and what chitim may have made you think it was elsewhere in the Middle East. He says, maybe it's even more sharply, the point is Canaan as opposed to what? Which other land might you think Avram is operating in now? In Mitzrayim, or where else has Avram been plenty? Eretz Plishtim. Lefi daiti, ki Ramban writes, ki tam aksuvim eno elalaz ki eretz Canaan lo eretz Plishtim. He says specifically, not Plishtim. Why? We heard that earlier. He spent a lot of time in Plishtim. He was in the area of the city, the town of Gerar. And then he moved to Be'er Sheva. He had been circulating between Chevron and Be'er Sheva on the one end. Chevron is further north near in Eretz Yehudim. Be'er Sheva, as you know, is in the south, but in Eretz Yisrael. And circling between those two areas, Chevron and Be'er Sheva and Plishtim. As an aside, we'll come back to Rabban in a moment, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky makes the point, and I say from Chumash, and Yaakov, he says, if you actually pay attention to the details that we sometimes ignore, that the Rabban here is drawing us like, to notice what the places are. A lot of times we learn Lech Lecha and so forth, and they sort of know the stories, we're not focused on all the dates and places. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky points out, one gets the impression, Chumash Bereishis, that Be'er Sheva was the Ir Ha'avos. Be'er Sheva, you don't hear much about Be'er Sheva after you leave Chumash Mos. And the rest of Tanakh, the 23 Sfarim of Tanakh, you hear very little about Be'er Sheva. But Ben Sefer Bereishis, you hear about Be'er Sheva, a tremendous amount. See, he has this whole theory he develops over the course of his parish. Yaakov Kamenetsky wrote a parish on Chumash, Emes Yaakov. So several times over the course of Chumash Bereishis, he references, he's developing this idea that Be'er Sheva had a particular significance to the others over and above that it did not have later. That was a very important touch point for them. He tries to work out why. So Ramban already is pointing out, if you're following the places that the Torah mentions, Avram is in Hebron, and Avram is in Be'er Sheva, and Avram is in Plishtim, and Dakana, these are the places around which he was circulating. Earlier, originally he had come in at Shechem. If you ever go to visit Shechem, and they give you the tour, I mean, hard for Jews to visit Shechem, but you can visit Elon Moreh, which is the Jewish settlement on the hilltop overlooking what's now, unfortunately, the Arab town of Shechem. They'll show you Hagriz Marevo, and they'll also show you, they'll take you to the right side of the mountain where you can see exactly why it is that that's where Avraham Avinu comes into, geographically speaking. As Rashi pointed out earlier, that there was an immense amount of Maisav Asim Labanim in coming to the area to Yericho and Shechem, but they point out you can see geographically also why they come there. But that was the initial entry point, the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. But beyond that, as you know, the Pesukim say, he moves down south, and then, as Ramban points out, we've been watching tracing Avraham Avinu over the course of the balance of Lech Lecha and Vayera between Chevron and Be'er Sheva and Plishtim, Eretz Plishtim. Al-Kain Hizgir, three lines for the bottom here on page Kuf Laban Aleph. Al-Kain Hizgir, ki Chevron ubeeretz Hakanani, hayoshev arhu. We need to reinforce, but now he's in Chevron, and he's burying Sarah in Chevron, he's buying this land in Chevron. That Chevron is not Eretz Plishtim. That Chevron, if you don't have access to a map, the Torah wants to stress, Chevron is in Eretz Yehuda. Lo Eretz Plishtim and Eretz Keres Lavan.
The Torah at the end is stressing not only the city and the country, Hebron and Eretz Canaan, but also the location, because this apparently was the way the area was called. It was Steah Machpel. Then he says, okay, Adkan, the beginning of his comments in this pasuk are about this pasuk. What's pshat? This pasuk is revealing all these details. We know these details. We don't know these details. We care about these details. Okay. Then he says, now let's zoom out. Well, what's the point of this whole parsha? What do we need to know? Torah could have told me one pasuk, or not even at all. At some point, the Sarah passed away, and she was buried. Either we need to hear that detail, we don't need that detail. There's so much. All the back and forth. There is a... Someone published a book a number of years ago in which he argued that Avraham Avinu was the first Jewish lawyer, a celebrated author, wrote this book, and cast Avraham Avinu as the first Jewish lawyer. Okay, so agree or disagree with the content of his book, there certainly is a fair amount of negotiating that that the Torah gives us the opportunity to listen to Avraham Avinu negotiating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu over stone, Avraham Avinu negotiating in a very princely way with Ephron over this field. Okay, but that may be true, but the Torah is not interested. That's not the Torah's focus. Avraham Avinu may have needed to negotiate, but why do we need to hear it? Why the Hutzul Chodoros? V'nichtav ezo saparshal ha'odiyah chaz de Hashem. So number one, we should be asking ourselves that question. What's this parsha here for? What am I supposed to... What does every door of Jews need to hear this parsha for? And he says, Rabban says, la'odiyah chaz de Hashem and Avram. Shahinasi Elohim Ba'aretz, Asher Bala Gursham. He was a godly prince in this land where he had come, Lagursham, that we know that that's he's referenced after the language of Aravino early in the parsha. Gave us Shabanochim. He was a foreigner. He was an immigrant. He was an immigrant from Mesopotamia. He had come from Mesopotamia. He had traveled with his across the Fertile Crescent with his father Tarach to Syria, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Lech Lecha, and he heads down south into Eretz Israel. He's from elsewhere. And as we know from earlier in Chumash, the things were tense between Eretz Israel and Mesopotamia. And there was the war of the four kings and the five kings. See, Avraham Avinu was an outsider. And he's recognized as a Nasi Elokim. That's incredible. V'haya Yachid. He didn't come with a big group. And he came from a different country. And yet, v'chol ha'alma yukorin oso, ho'korin lo Adoni. Everyone's calling him Adoni. And then Rabban, in other words, you see, and that's what Rabban said, what's the point? Rabban says, number one, chaz de Hashem. You see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of Avraham Avinu. That against all odds, you would have expected him to be on the edge of society. You would expect him to be someone that no one is giving significance to. They all look up at him. And then the Rabban says, what do you think? What's behind the next line? The Rabban is very subtle. V'hu lo amar lahem kein, shayasar v'gal. They called him Adoni. He didn't say that. Why do we need to hear that he didn't say that? What's the point?
Oh, because it could have just been convention.
Ah, right. Because if everyone's calling everyone Adoni, that was just exactly. And they all use honorifics. Rabban says, we got to read the Chumash carefully. Every word is there for a reason. You see, they call him that. He doesn't call them that. This wasn't just politeness. He was your highness. They called him your highness because that was for real. He wasn't responding that way. Sometimes you go to Chassidus Shtibl, you know, everyone gets called up as a Marein Harav. Everyone. Even the 14-year-old gets an Aliyah on a Monday morning, he's Marein Harav, Ben Marein Harav. That's just, that's the way they say Reb. So that doesn't mean he's actually a big Talmud Chacham. Maybe he is, maybe he's not. But you can't tell if everyone gets called Marein Harav. But here, it wasn't, not everyone was being called Adoni. They called Avraham Avinu Adoni. So you see, that Taka was, that was for real. Shahaya Sarva Gadol. They said Nasi Elokim Atah B'Zachinu explicitly. That's the language that Ramban is referencing. And they keep using Adoni. And apparently this wasn't just politeness. So and why do we need to hear about this? Number one, he says, Chazei Hashem. And number two, he says, V'gam b'chayav kiyem lo v'agad lo shemecha v'heyei bracha. It's another element. Not only to see that Kadosh Baruch Hu was taking care of Avraham Avinu, but to see Kiyum HaNevuah. That's important to see. For us to see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given Avraham Avinu Nevuah at the beginning of Lech Lecha, that despite all odds, this is exactly as had been predicted. Despite all odds, it's going to work for you in Eretz Yisrael, remarkably, and taka. You see, by the time his wife passes away, he is recognized as someone incredibly special. He was their aristocrat. And then in Nesi Elokim, he was their spiritual aristocrat. The Ishto Mesa V'Nikra Nachas Hashem. And then another angle is to appreciate that Sarah was buried in Eretz Yisrael. And then he says, a fascinating point, the ode, what else are we supposed to learn from this parasha? Ki ratza lahodi enu mekom kivurasa avos basher anachnu chayavim lechabed mekom kivurasa avos en hakadoshim. Rabban says, independent, another toelus in this parasha, aside from our note, our being able to see Chasdei Hashem, and our being able to see nevuos that were mekuyamos, the way they treat Avram, and the fact that Avram was able to bury Sarah in Eretz Yisrael, is we need to know where Maris HaMachpel is, because there's religious value in knowing where the others are buried, because we're chayavim lechabed mekom kuras avosin avdoshim. We have a chiyuv to mechabed the Beis HaKvaris of the Avos, which is fascinating. Well, what's that chiyuv? Interesting, the language. This is from the Ramban. Ramban, who's the author of the Pirish Al HaTorah, is also Ramban, who is the author of the Chidush Ramban Al HaShas, and the Torah Sa'adam, and the Mulchamas. So what's this chiyuv lechabed? Maybe it's kavod ames. Maybe it's kibra ve'im, kavod for tzaddikim. That's interesting. He sees it. There's a chiyuv to show kavod to the Maris HaMachpela. Fascinating. And then he says, another way. So one angle is to see the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of Avinu, and to see the Kiyum HaNevuah. But the Rambam points out in several places, in letters and elsewhere, that to see a Nes, and the Rambam is going to say it as well, later on in Parshas Bo, a very, very famous passage in Parshas Bo, that you learn a lot from seeing an ace, you learn even more from seeing an ace that had already been prophetically predicted. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspends nature, which this was not an ace nigla. So when you see an ace nigla, Rabban writes, then you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's running the world, if he's able to suspend nature at will. Rabban and Rambam both say, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu predicted an ace, and then you see it happen, so that is not only teaching me something about Kadosh Baruch Hu, also teaching me something about Nevuah. So someone gave us very recently, a family of ours who live in Eretz Yisrael gave us a gorgeous book, HaNevuah. So like a coffee table size book, gorgeous pictures. It goes through probably 20, 30 different passages in Nevi'im Achronim, different Nevuah, some from Chumash, different Nevuahs by Eretz Yisrael. And they show you, like here are 20, 30, 40 Nevuahs that have been mikuyamos over the last century in Eretz Yisrael. The Nevuahs about Kibbutz Galias, the Nevuahs about the rebuilding of Eretz Yisrael. Like, and some of them are very general, some of them are very specific. That would be like Nevuahs about the rebuilding of roads, and then paired with pictures. V'chulu, 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 v'chulu. I sometimes think only half jokingly that Klal Yisrael has developed the minig that Erev Pesach we chazed the last Agadah to Maseches Makos, minig Yisrael, right? Because for the last couple of decades or centuries, in place of actually having times Bechorim, it's become universal. Instead, we make a Siyum, and the most common Siyumim is for especially Erev Pesach is Maseches Makos. So, but I don't mean this entirely tongue in cheek. That what has occurred. It's almost become Minyan Yisrael to chazer the last Agadah and Makas on Erev Pesach Morning. And it happens to be remarkably appropriate. Because that last Agadah and Makas is where the Tanaim are walking by the Makam Mikdash, they're walking by Harabais, and they see Churban, and they see the Shua, they see the animals. Remember, at the time of Ram Gamliel Rebbe Akiva, we come to the Harabais, we see it built up by another religion. We see it built up. At the time, it was just ruins. There was a little bit of the remnants of the Kotel, and it was just ruined. It was ugly. It was ruined. It was a destroyed site. And then they see animals running through the Malka Mikdash, and they all start crying. And Rabbi Akiva, we know the famous Gemara because we chazer every Erev Pesach. And Rabbi Akiva starts smiling, and they think, like, have you lost your mind? You're smiling, and he says, why are you crying? I said, wait, you crying? Ah, And he says, and now I see, this is the way Nevi'im predicted, Shulam Hilchabois Imamish, those terrible Nevuas we had heard about Churban, to see them B'moei Naim, Mamish happening, he says, now I can, it's easier for me to imagine all the positive Nevuas happening as well. So that's a tribute to Rabbi Akiva's incredible koach of optimism, which you see throughout many agadas of Chazal. And Baruch Hashem, Achsha, we're zochet to see that nevuah that he mentioned of Zechariah, that now he can imagine, you know, all the old people and the young people, b'chutz Yerushalayim. Now we get to see the happy nevuahs. Imagine if Rabbi Akiva was walking around Yerushalayim nowadays. So that's what the Ramban says. Rabban says that part of the significance of the opening parsha of Chayisara is to see that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave everyone a nevuah and to watch it actually be miskayim. And you see and that's where you need all the ins and outs, the details. If you just said Vatama Sara Vatikaver Vimarsa Achpela, you'll be missing the interactions. We need to hear that Kadosh Baruch Hu needs to take us. We need to be like a fly on the wall and watch the way Avram is handling with everyone else. You see Avram handling himself in a very princely way. And if there is significance to the negotiating piece, Avram Avinu negotiates like a prince. Very, very regal and very with extraordinary derech eretz. And he gets the hint and he pays. He's not trying to cut any corners. He's more than glad to pay. So it's reminiscent of how he handles Melech Sodom, and he hears the echoes of a price, boom, right away. And you hear the way they handle him. And you see the way the Nebuah was with Mikuyam. And then he says there's a whole other angle. Rabbi Hoseinu Amru, so the Gemara end of the last paragraph of Sanhedrin says, Shegam zemin ha-nisyonos shel Avram. This is also on the Esther Nisyonos. Bikesh makam likbar asar v'lamasal shekana osam. There's a whole other angle, in addition to seeing the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of Avram, is to watch what Avram is doing. The Hanhagas HaAdam, he could have been very upset. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised me Eretz Yisrael, now I have to pay for it. Huh? So that says a good look. The Gemara sees it as one of the Nisyonos. So there are multiple angles here. You see the Chaz de Hashem, you see the strength of Avram Avinu, and then here comes the jab. The Ramban, you discover at the very end of this paragraph, Ramban was not the first one to wonder about this question. Someone else before him had already wondered, what's the tolelos of this parasha? V'lo yodati tam l'divrei Rabbi Avraham. Says, I don't understand what's the I can't make sense of what Rabbi Avraham says. Rabbi Avraham, this is a reference to Ibn Ezra, Ben Avraham Ibn Ezra, whom the Ramban had already promised us in his introduction to the Perush. He will have that great line, Tochachas Magula V'Ava Mesuteres. Says, deep down I love him, but I will often, you know, come out guns a-blazing to argue with him very, very vociferously. And this is one of the places. And he says, I don't understand what the Ibn Ezra wants. Sha'omer Lahudia Milas Eretz Yisrael. Ibn Ezra says, this is a Zionist Parsha is to tell us how wonderful Eretz Yisrael is. L'chaim ulameisim. You see, the Eretz Yisrael is such a worthwhile, wonderful place, both for when a person is alive, as well for a person passes away. It's important, it's value to live in Eretz Yisrael, and it's value to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. A. B. Ibn Ezra says, O'od l'kayem lo dvar Hashem lios lo l'nachla. Number two, you see that Kadosh Baruch Hu fulfilled the nevuah that Avram will get Eretz Yisrael. Those are Ibn Ezra's two toalios. So now when you see the parsha is teaching about the value of Eretz Yisrael, not to live there but to be buried there. After all, Sarah gets buried there. Number two, you see that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Eretz Yisrael to Avram Avinu. What's the kasha? Right. Rabban says, I don't see anything. Number one, we'll go one by one. He says, the first one, you see from here that it's valuable to be buried in Eretz Yisrael? Really? Ma maila le'eretz bazeh, ki lo yolichen le'eretz acheres le'kavra. He says, let's say Eretz Yisrael wasn't such a valuable place to be buried. Well, then Avram would have taken her to bury somewhere else? Well, he's there already. Meila, you had a story that Avram Avinu was in Haran, Avram Avinu was in or a costume. Avravina was in Detroit, and his wife passes away, and he gets on a plane and buries her in Eretz Yisrael. Ah! So then you see there's value to going out of your way to bury in Eretz Yisrael. But what do you mean? She died here, and she was buried here. It doesn't show you that's where they were. Lo yolichen el Eretz Acheres l'kavra. This is, I don't understand the Ibn Ezra's logic. What do you see? And in terms of, and then Dvar Hashem la'avram al kolah Eretz Haya v'neskayim rak bizarro. And he says in terms of the Eretz, so he got Eretz Yisrael, what, because he got to buy one piece of land, one plot of land in Hebron? Akash Baruch didn't promise him a piece of land in Hebron. Akash Baruch promised him all of Eretz Yisrael. And that didn't happen now. That happened centuries from now. There's Kayim Rak Bizarro. A couple of centuries from now, Yeshua is going to lead Klal Yisrael back into Eretz Yisrael, and then they're going to conquer. So he says, I don't understand. Ibn Ezra pointed, yes, we mention Eretz Yisrael here, but it doesn't, yes, Ibn Ramban says, you got to be much more precise. There is a Nevuah that's Mekuyemes, not the Nevuah of getting Eretz Yisrael, the Nevuah of V'agad L'Shemecha, that Nevuah Yitaki Yisi. That Nevuah Taki Yisi. And then, in the very next piece, he begins to talk about V'Hashem Beirachas Avraham Bakol. Right, after the passing of Sarah, so then the Torah transitions from the passing of Sarah to the seeking a shidduch for Yitzhak. And you have that pasuk Avraham Zakein Ba Bayamim. Hashem Berachas Avraham Bakol. So he has a line here that I want to expand with a piece late at the end of the parasha. See, Berachas, he has a lot to say here. We're not going to look at most of what he has said in this pasuk. There's a long discussion about the three approaches in Tanam about Bakol. Call the name of the daughter, what does that mean? There's a whole Kabbalistic take on that. Yeah. Because Machlok is Hatanan, was it a bracha that he did have a daughter? Bakal, that he had a daughter, or Bakal is a bracha he did not have a daughter? So he points out, normally it's a bracha to have a daughter. So Ramban explains, but to have a daughter, for Avraham Avinu at that junction to have had a daughter was complicated. Who's she going to marry? A Kanani? So that's what he develops, and maybe that's what the Tanaim are dealing with. What would have been more of a bracha to have a daughter, not to have a daughter? But before he gets into that, just to see the first couple lines, then we'll segue to the end of the parsha. Beirachas Avraham Bakol, see Perach Avdal Pasuk Aleph on page Kuflam Beis, or by the italics, Beirachas by my finger, Beirachas Avraham Bakol, just to see the first two lines. But what do you mean Bakol? So he says Alderach Pshuto before he gets to the Machlokas. In the Gemara about the daughter, not the daughter, it said Alpi Pshuto, Ba'osher Nechasim, Kavod, Orech Yamim, Ubanim. They had wealth, and he was respected, had a long life, he had a family. V'zos Kol Chemdas Adam. That's what a person wants. Fascinating. V'zos Kol Chemdas Adam. V'hizkir HaKasuv Zeh. And why do we need to hear this? Right there. Okay, so I'm very happy for Avram. I'm very happy for the Elder say to Avram that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him happiness. Why is it in Chumash? So he says, his kira kasev zeh leimor ki haya shalem bakol, to know that he had everything. Lo chaser davar zulasi sheyira banim livno shein chalu ma'ala so kvodo. The only thing he was missing, he had a wonderful marriage to his wife for probably over a century. You know exactly when they got married. He had a very blessed life. The one thing he was missing was to see Yitzhak married, to see grandchildren, and to know that what he had accomplished was going to have the kiyum. And that's why he had a taiva, such a desire to see Yitzhak married, and that's why at this point he turns that Yitzhak hasn't got married yet. We need to get working on that. Now, to expand on this a little more, take a look at the end, the next page in your packet, the very end of Parshas Chayisar. Perek Chaf Hei Pasik Ches. Avraham Avinu, at the very end of Chayisar, Avraham Avinu passes away. And the Torah says that he was in Pasik Ches, Zakein V'Saveya. He was elderly, he was old, and he was Saveya. What does that mean?
Satisfied.
What does that mean? Obviously, it doesn't mean that he had eaten. Satiated. Obviously, it doesn't mean in the sense of the chalta v'savata. The Ramban says, Here again, Parakaf Hei Pasukas. Zakein v'sinei Shurah kol mishalos libo v'sova kol tovo. He's gotten everything he wanted. Everything he wanted Akash Baruch to give him, Akash Baruch had fulfilled. V'saveya kol tovo. He was satisfied with all the goodness. Rebbeinu Shlomo blessed him. Again, this obviously going back to that pasuk earlier. That Akash Baruch had a family. At this point, he already saw Yitzhak married off. Some positions in Chazal understand that at this point Yishmael had done tshuva. V'chein usava yamim. When you see that language later on, Yitzhak, that he was sava yamim, he was satisfied of days. What does that mean? Shesava nafsho b'yamim. V'lo, it's interesting language. He was satisfied of days. V'lo yisavesh yichadshu lo hayamim davar. He wasn't yearning for the next day to bring something new. He was happy the way, he was content with the way life was. U'ke'inyin sh'amim v'david. V'yamas b'seva tova seva yamim v'osher v'chavod. And why do we need to hear about this? So if you read the next line carefully, I think there's a dual angle, and it's the same dual angle that we saw in the first Ramban. V'hu sipur chazdei Hashem b'tzadikim u'mida tova b'hem sh'ol yisavu b'mos haros. It's two. What are we supposed to learn from the fact that Avram and Yitzhak and David, at the end of their lives, they look back with sevia? It says it's a double thing. It's in terms of Hanhagas HaBorei and in terms of Hanhagas HaAdam. Now, on the one hand, you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of them, Chazdei Hashem B'tzadikim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them Schar Ba'Olam Hazeh, even Karen Kiyam was the Olam Haba, but they had goodness in their lives in Olam Hazeh as well. But it's not just a question of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. It's a question of our business too. Mida Tova Bahem, Shalom Yisavu Mosros. Bahem, Mitov Bahem mean the Mitov and the Tzadikim. They weren't interested, they weren't desiring excess. They weren't looking for Mosaros, luxuries, unnecessary things. They wanted important things. Kenyan Shanama Bahem, the Tavas Libo Nosatelo. What you desired, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them what they desired. Lo Kemo Shanama Bishara Hanashim Oed Kezel Yisba Kesev. A pasuk in Kohalas that we hear once a year. And we hear more than once a year in Musar Shmuzin. If you're yearning for money, you're never going to be the same word, saveya. The kesef is not going to satisfy you. And you've no doubt heard in Musar Shmuzin a very famous comment. The Rabban here quotes, they tell in the Bam, it's a Kohelet, Medrash Rabbah on Kohelet. The Amarbo, what do you mean, oev kesef yisba kesef? The person who loves money is not going to be satisfied with the money. Why not? He wants money, so sometimes people don't get what they want. Okay, sometimes a guy wants to be a millionaire. He doesn't get to be a millionaire. He wants to be a billionaire, doesn't make it there. But sometimes he does. Now some startups fail and some startups succeed. People who are venture capitalists, I think usually are looking for, I think a 10% return rate is usually pretty good. That's what I'm told. In other words, if you're going to kick money into startups, so if 1 out of 10 takes off, that's more than fine. Because as you kick money into the 9 out of 10 flop, and you may not even recoup your principal, but if 1 out of 10 takes off, and you had an early stake, and then as it grows and grows and grows, your percentage, the value of that percentage of yours obviously keeps growing, that's great. So look, so many entrepreneurs don't do well, some do. So, oh, what do you mean? Oh, if kesel yis ba kesel. Chazal, I don't know, what do you mean? The guy tried, he was never Matzliach, okay. But let's say he tried, he was Matzliach. He made it big. And then he sells, you know, he has a startup, and then Google buys out the company for, you know, X billions of dollars, and he gets his percentage of that cash. That's a lot of money. So why Oev Kesel Yispa Kesef? What's pshat? Why not? I just made $500 million. That's pretty satisfying. So how you understand, and the Rabban is pointing out two psukim in contrast. A pasuk in Tehillim, a pasuk in Koheles. Tavas libo nosatalo, that pasuk in Tehillim, they tell you in the bottom, Perek Chafalov, versus Oev Ke, pasuk in Koheles, Oev Kesef, lo yisba kesef. So why lo yisba kesef? So he says, so number one, the Rabban says, it's tzadikim versus shara anashim. Tzadikim, yes. Tavas libo nosatalo. Shara nashim, no. Orev kesev lo yisba kesev. Why? They said, look at the famous Kohelet's Rabbah. Ein adam yotze min ha'olam v'chatzi tavosav v'yado. The guy is not going to leave this world with even half of what he wanted. Yesh b'yado mana misavel l'masayim. Hisiga yad l'masayim misavel l'sos ha'armayos. When he has $100, not so $100, mana is 100 zuz, so that's probably in contemporary purchasing power, that's tens if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. So let's say, we'll say, translate roughly as Yesh b'yado mana wrote some masayim. The guy has 50,000, he wants 100,000. And now he has 100,000. He's sigil masayim. He made it to 100,000. Masavil asos arameos. He wants 400 zos. Now he wants 200,000. Shenamar oet kesef lo yispa kesef. In other words, it's a moving target. You think that if I could only reach that next level, if I could double my money, then I'd be happy. But when you get there, all of a sudden, now you just see you're less focused on I made it to where I had wanted to be, right, what wanted to be, and now I'm focused, but now I already notice the next peak that I want to make it to. Actually, a couple of years ago, there's a fellow who co-heads a bond fund for a big investment bank in Midtown Manhattan. He mentioned to me that it's striking the numbers that Chazal use. The Pasuk just says, Oev kesef li yispa kesef. It doesn't give you ratios. Chazal give you ratios. Mana, Masayim, Masayim, Arameus. Only a factor of two. So he said he has noticed the people who work for him, who tend to be very ambitious, hardworking, and looking to get ahead, he said consistently people think they should be making twice as much as what they make. People in his field. Invariably. They always think they should. They're not triple, not quadruple, not 50% more. Everyone said the most common thing is people think they should be making double what they're making. It's not much. Yeshua Mana wrote some Masayim. Now you have the Masayim, you won 400. So that's not a recipe, in other words, for happiness. If your contentment is based on achieving a moving target, then you're never going to be content. You're never going to have a sense of satisfaction. I always think if I can only get there, then I'd be happy. But once I get there, I stop wanting there. I want 2x. When I get to 2x, I want 4x. And the Ramban said, but don't be depressed. This is not necessarily part of the human condition. Because Brother Ramban gave us like a, this is like learning Tosis on Haggadah. Ramban said, on the one hand, you have that Koheles Rabba, but on the other hand, I have Apostle Gentil and Perek Chavalt, and I have Avram and Yitzhak and David. And if we actually pay attention to the details of Chumash, we notice, what's the Seva Yamin? Zakin v'Saveya. He says, that's the answer. What's the key? Tzadikim versus Shara Nashim, and what's the key? He told us, Mida Tova Behem Shelo Yisavu B'Mosaros. Specifically, it's a question of, it's driven by what is it that I want. Do I want the core things that are of lasting value, or are my sights set primarily on luxuries? Misaveh B'Mosaros, so then, once it's a question of luxuries, so then there's always more. If my whole, you know, Taivas Achayim was I need to have a particular BMW, a particular Porsche, so when I get the Porsche, all of a sudden now I need the Alfa, but then I notice the next door neighbor has the Alfa Romeo. And all of a sudden the Porsche is Wert Klum. It's no longer worth anything. So it says you have to ask yourself, what is it, where are you setting your sights? And that's going to drive whether you live a life of contentment or a life of lack of contentment. So he says, and that's important. It's Mida Tova, it's Chazdei Hashem, but it's also how I process it. Kadosh Baruch Hu giving the same chasadim, if I set my sights on X versus I set my sights on Y, I'm going to have a very different emotional reaction to the gifts Rebbe Shalom gives me. So that's a very, very important insight. And again, these, like I said before, these are parshios, these are psukim, they're so familiar. But as we said in the past, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us brachos for children, but not only for children. There's plenty, so much going on in Chumash brachos that as a 5-year-old, as a 7-year-old, as a 10-year-old, you couldn't possibly have, you weren't capable of understanding. Someone told this Ramban when you were in fourth grade. Okay, you sort of get it. Maybe you hear it a little bit. In one ear, out the other ear. But now you're at a point where you begin to think very differently about life. And you begin, can be, begin to appreciate what this means. And one other angle here is to notice, both in this closing Ramban by the Zakim V'Saveya and the opening Ramban, but what's the toeles of the details of the aftermath of the death of Sarah, is to notice that the Torah is telling us something about Hanhagas HaBore and something about Hanhagas HaAdam. Something about Derech Hashem and something about Mesil Shisharm. Or if you like, something about Maisa Breshah, something about Maisa Merkava. There's a lesson in terms of, we notice something in this parasha in terms of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates. You see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of Avram, that he blessed him with Vagadlo Shemecha, and that Nevuah was Miskayemes. You see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed Avram with a wonderful life and he was able to die Zakein V'Saveya. But there's also, it's not only noticing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu works, there's also the Mechayev for us. As the Gazi quoted, the Gemara said that it was a Nisayin for Avram. How is he going to handle? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him blessings, but also on the other hand, he could have said, but I want that, where's my Eretz Yisrael that I'm supposed to have? I have to fork over tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars to buy the piece of real estate to bury my wife? When it should be all, the whole country should be mine? And he was Omer Ben Yisayim. It was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving him, but it was also, what is he going to do with that situation? Zakim V'Saveya. Yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed him with a lot. But he could have had a different attitude, and all that blessing would have gone down the drain. He never would have been happy, because he was always dreaming about, I don't know what the equivalent is of a BMW camel, but he could have been, if he would have built his life's dreams around Mos Saros. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you Mos Saros and you enjoy them, that's not what the Ramban is speaking out against. The question is, for what are you misave? If it drops in your lap, you enjoy it, gewaldic. But what are you misave for? As in Lotis Ave, the last of the Dibros in the Parashat Vezchan. Well, what are the goals and dreams? If the goals and dreams, I'm interested in a particular career, I enjoy the work, I would want to make an impact, and I want to support my family. Support my family to what end? Support my family so we could live with dignity, or support my family because I need to have X, Y, and Z luxury? And that's a decision that you make in terms of perspective. And if you mature into the perspective of the Zakein V'Saveya, that's Sevilla, then you're Zocha to the Bracha of the Tavas Tiba Nasatal. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give you. Well, if you pick the right type of slave, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give and fulfill that type of slave. It's always a moving target. If it's always kesef, so then lo yisba kesef, because it's algebraic. If you want X, if you want 2X, it's always going to be 2X of wherever you are now. So these are important lessons, to recognize the subtleties of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interactions with the avos and by extension with us, and to recognize the mitos that we can seek to pattern ourselves after and seek to grow into.